Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts right after this.
Smart growers know sustainability means managing pests at the same time they manage other priorities in their fields, which is why smart growers know Certis Biologicals. For more than 20 years, Certis Biologicals has been the world's leader when it comes to biological pesticides, delivering proven solutions that keep operations sustainable and growing. Learn more at CertisBio.com.
Get ready for the 2023 Crop Consultant Conference in Visalia, California on September 27th and 28th, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors. This two-day event will feature a combined 44 hours of live and online continuing education units for attendees in the heart of California, a trade show, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. Come join CCAs, PCAs, growers, and industry professionals at the Visalia Convention Center to hear from researchers and colleagues on the latest in agriculture. Registration is now open at progressivecrop.com/conference.
The California Air Resources Board has launched a Clean Off-Road Equipment Voucher Incentive Project to help businesses and fleets invest in the most advanced zero-emission off-road freight, agricultural, harbor craft, and construction technologies. The program will offer vouchers of up to $1 million to help cover the costs of equipment and infrastructure. Additional funds and priority funding are available if the equipment is operated in a pollution-overburdened community or if the equipment is purchased by a small business. The following equipment is covered by the program: agricultural equipment, airport cargo loaders, construction equipment, container handling equipment, forklifts greater than 8,000 pound lift capacity, ground power units, harbor craft, landscaping equipment, mobile power units, mobile shore power cable management systems, on and off-road terminal tractors, rail car movers, rubber-tired gantry cranes, shore-side electric vessel supply equipment, including hydrogen fueling, transport refrigeration units, and wide-body aircraft tugs. For more information about the CORE project, see the California Department of Agriculture website. San Francisco-based Maple Bear Incorporated, doing business as Instacart, has announced it has filed a registration statement on Form S-1 with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission related to a proposed initial public offering of its common stock. The number of shares to be offered and a price range for the proposed offering have not yet been determined. Instacart intends to list its common stock on the NASDAQ Global Select Market under the symbol CART. It looks as though the market on green onions has hit its peak and is steadying again. It appears to have settled back down a bit, with supplies and harvest schedules getting back to what was considered normal before Tropical Storm Hillary, that according to Russ Weiderberg of Valley Produce. He says both green onion supplies and harvest were curtailed due to the heavy rain and wind from Hillary. Growing regions from Ensenada on the Costa Baja and Mexicali and to San Luis in inland Baja were affected to some extent. He says harvest of green onions were already starting to cut back before the rains and wind due to the excessively hot temperatures in July and August. Tropical Storm Hillary just intensified and sped up the severity. As for pricing, the open market on 48-count ice green onions jumped significantly from the $15 range to as high as $40 within a couple of weeks. The green onion market is usually in a $20 to $30 range during the summer months, and that's where pricing looks like it's beginning to settle back into. Iceless green onion production was already stymied as the cold rooms were completely emptied and had to deal with power outages up to 3 to 4 days, he says, and it will take a week or so to get iceless production back up to speed. However, he says, don't be surprised to see higher green onion prices well into the month of October. Californian agriculture officials are trying to prevent the destruction of tens of billions of dollars in the Santa Clara County crops. Everything from grapes and avocados to citrus fruits and vegetables are threatened by the oriental fruit fly. Crews recently started working to eradicate the pest before its numbers get out of control. Officials believe someone either carried infested fruit into the state and county from another location, or the infested fruit was mailed to them. The oriental fruit fly is native to Asia and has been known to infest more than 230 different types of fruits and vegetables. Growing numbers of the fly have been located in the areas that includes parts of Cupertino, Sunnyvale, San Jose, and Santa Clara. The California Department of Food and Agriculture began treating those areas. They're putting bait on trees and utility poles. According to the weekly U.S. Drought Monitor, improvements were found in parts of California and Nevada because of the impacts of Tropical Storm Hilary. The storm brought record-breaking rainfall accumulations and incidents of flash flooding and mudslides. California health officials are warning of a potential increase of valley fever, which is a respiratory disease in humans that is caused by a fungus, which is found in soils across much of the Golden State. This winter's heavy rains have caused an increase in the growth of the fungus, which causes valley fever, according to the California Department of Public Health in a press release. Valley fever occurs when dust containing a fungus is inhaled, leading to respiratory symptoms that can turn severe or even fatal. Periods of heavy rain can cause the fungus to become more active, according to research conducted by the University of California, Berkeley, and CDPH. That means valley fever cases could spike in the coming months as spores that grew during this year's record rainfall dry out and become airborne in dust. Most cases of valley fever occur in California's Central Valley, but rates of the disease have been increasing in areas along the Central Coast, as well as in the southern part of the state. Kern County has the highest rates of valley fever in the state, with just over 2,800 cases reported in 2021. Statewide reports of the disease have increased significantly over the past two decades, with less than 1,000 cases in the year 2000 to over 9,000 cases in 2019. About 1,000 people are hospitalized with the disease each year, and of those cases, 1 in 10 results in death, according to CDPH data.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture, a better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humix Solutions with a human touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
We're back with another regulatory update from California Walnut Commission's Director of Technical and Regulatory Affairs, Josh Ram. It's a two-parter, so check back in next week as well for additional regulatory updates. Top of mind for industry now are produce safety rule inspections, which we've of course covered over the last 2 months on the show, but as of this month, August, they're finally happening. That includes inspections and on-farm readiness reviews or prerequisite farm walkthroughs.
Most notably, those official inspections of walnut farms have started as of August 2023, as the CDFA Produce Safety Program inspectors are now making their way across the state and much more are expected. So typically, as I alluded to earlier, the on-farm readiness reviews occur before a formally documented official produce safety inspection, which would then be scheduled at a later date. So if you're being communicated to or contacted for the first time, it's probably an on-farm readiness review, but then following that in the months after would be an inspection. So a couple things there. The Walnut Commission, we've been working on additional supporting resources and training for growers with the help of some third-party experts and stakeholders.
Ram provides a few takeaways based on attendance of produce safety inspections. Keep in mind, this list isn't inclusive of every inspection item for every operation.
The FSMA PSA training certificates, so the inspector wanted to see documented proof of that. The proof of employees trained, documented proof was requested there. This is food safety specific, even though there's no definitive list of topics to be included. There's topics that would be prudent to cover, such as hand washing, you know, don't come to work sick, use the porta pots, not the orchard, for your bathroom needs, report a food safety issue if you see one. On these training documents as well, the farm name and address should be on the reports and trainings. The time and date of training and sign-off is needed by the supervisor. The importance of review signature of that reviewer signature and supervisor on top of trainee signatures is, again, something to have included and of importance. Also, the inspectors wanted to see that the contractors are trained not to harvest contaminated produce, and that should be included in the contract or formally documented in the training. All this and record keeping, keep your records for 2 years or more, was noted. We talked a little bit about the soil amendments. So if you use synthetic products, no documentation's needed. If you are using biological soil amendments with animal origin, then a letter of guarantee is needed from the supplier. Water sources was another topic, this part of the rule. There's still some pieces being tweaked and in process and finalization, but that was asked about with not only water sources, but water testing show no detectable generic E. coli. The CDFA, the inspector was pleased with the written log that was used and the template from the CDFA Produce Safety Rule website.
Ram mentioned a few other items of inspection, including equipment use during harvest, animals in the field, and visitor policies, among others.
The inspector wanted to see a cleaning and sanitation log for both farm operations equipment and third-party contractors. Animals in the field was another item of focus. Details were very vague, but essentially, if you see animal waste, remove and pick that up safely. Buildings, as far as the buildings and infrastructure goes, the inspector asked about pest control and documentation. No further action was needed here with proper control measures and documentation. Visitor policy, it's important to make visitors aware of your food safety program. A sign-in, sign-out sheet log is also recommended and required. This includes having restrooms available for visitors. A site inspection, the CDFA inspector observed the on-farm wells and bathrooms. Some best practices were discussed, such as watch-outs of not leaving any open hoses or debris on the ground. Look for evidence of leaks. Is there backflow prevention or protection? Restrooms need to be cleaned, have water, soap, paper towels, and a trash can. So some key items there. And last but certainly not least, be prepared for an actual inspection in the coming months following an on-farm readiness review. Be sure to confirm potential dates with your CDFA inspector. And for more information on the produce safety rule and additional resources for walnut growers, would recommend everyone to please visit walnuts.org and type the produce safety rule in the search box.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Jahlstrom.
Sponsored by the California Walnut Board and Commission, supporting the industry with on-farm innovation through production research, advocacy for government programs, and driving consumer demand. Doing more together.
The California Dairy Sustainability Summit Organizing Committee has announced the fourth event will take place on March 26th of 2024 at the University of California Davis Conference Center. The summit will host timely discussions as the California dairy sector is on track to achieve climate neutrality by as early as 2027 while providing nutritious foods that contribute to healthy, sustainable food systems. Speakers will highlight progress, policies, and partnerships that are supporting the innovation and advancement of planet-smart dairy farm practices. The California Dairy Sustainability Summit has been held biannually since 2018, recognizing milestones as the dairy sector makes tremendous strides in reducing its environmental footprint. The summit is hosted by Dairy Cares, California Dairy Research Foundation, California Milk Advisory Board, California Dairy Quality Assurance Program, and the Dairy Council of California. The 2024 program will be the first in-person version of the summit since 2018. Consistent with previous events, the program will take a comprehensive approach to discussing dairy sustainability. Highlighting progress in California's evolving dairy methane reduction strategy will be central to the discussion. According to the annual California Climate Investments Report, more than 2 million tons of methane emissions are now being reduced annually via dairy methane reduction programs. Using digesters, California dairy farms are concurrently producing enough renewable natural gas and renewable electricity to fuel 3,000 transit buses and 12,000 electric vehicles annually. Methane emissions are also being reduced through alternative manure management practices. On-farm technologies being adopted through partnership between dairies, private investors, and the state will also be showcased. California has invested more than $2 billion to date in dairy methane reduction efforts. The state is now further advancing with research and incentive funding to reduce enteric methane emissions in the dairy and beef cattle sectors. Additionally, California's new Dairy Plus program will soon award funding for on-farm projects to advance manure management by both reducing methane emissions and improving water quality outcomes. The Dairy Plus program is an effort driven by dairy farmer organizations, the CDRF, in collaboration with the California Department of Food and Agriculture, Dairy Cares, and several California dairy organizations, was awarded $85 million in funding by the U.S. Department of Agriculture to create this new initiative under the USDA Partnerships for Climate Smart Commodities program. The summit's mission is to promote education and collaboration for further advancing planet-smart dairy farm practices and to recognize and enhance dairy's valuable role in sustainable, healthy, and equitable food systems. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says Congress will deliver a farm bill, but not likely in September. Roll Call says McConnell told the Kentucky Farm Bureau that Congress is running out of working days on a legislative calendar before the current law expires on September 30th. McConnell is one of the highest-ranking members of Congress to admit that the timeline for a new farm bill is shifting past September. When asked about reauthorizing a five-year farm bill, McConnell says that they will figure it out. While the current bill runs out on September 30th, it looks like the new deadline for farm legislation will be December 31st. On January 1st, some American farm policies will revert to the 1940s-era controls on production and costly price supports. If the farm bill does get pushed to 2024, a one-year extension becomes likely, as it's a presidential election year and both parties will battle for congressional control. Food price inflation is cooling down and could be down to so-called normal levels in 2024. USA Ag News reporter Gary Crawford.
Food shoppers last year saw grocery store food prices increase by about 11.5% over what we paid in 2021. But this year, food prices are still expected to be higher than a year ago, but not by anything close to 11.5%.
Without a major change in the trends, we don't really expect to be going over 6% in terms of food at home prices.
Agriculture Department economist Matt McLaughlin, here's his latest food price projection for 2023.
For food at home, we are expecting food at home price increases to be between 4.4 and 6.1%. Right now, year to date, if we were to take just the average prices we have observed through July, we're at 4.8% compared to 2022.
So food price inflation of about half what it was last year. And for next year, look for food prices to only be up about 2%. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
U.S. grasslands are important for many reasons, and there is a big push to conserve them. Rural News reporter Roz Brown.
North America's grasslands are one of the most threatened ecosystems, and their preservation is getting new attention. Grasslands provide wildlife habitat and support rural economies. In recent decades, however, millions of acres have been lost.
Whether it's conversion to cropland or development, some studies have shown that the loss of grasslands has actually been even faster than the loss of Amazon rainforest.
Aviva Glasser with the National Wildlife Federation says ranchers, tribal members, and conservationists all want grasslands protected. It's known they absorb greenhouse gases, keeping climate pollution out of the atmosphere. But too often, Glasser says, people see them as flyover country.
They don't understand the value for wildlife, the value for rural communities, and for ranchers. For climate, grasslands hold so much carbon in the soil.
The Economic Policy Institute says employers routinely underpay farm workers, among other workplace violations, but federal investigations into problems like these have dropped to an all-time low. The Institute says that's likely because of funding and staffing constraints. A new report says Congress must increase funding for labor standards enforcement to protect farm workers. Since 2000, the Labor Department's Wage and Hour Division has seen investigations drop by more than 60%, as the division has only 810 investigators to protect all 165 million workers in the U.S. That means fewer than 1% of farm employers get investigated every year. From 2000 to 2022, H-2A visa program violations accounted for almost half of back wages and civil money penalties owned by farm employers. The EPI wants Congress to stop hobbling the Department of Labor and provide resources for strong investment in farm worker protections. They also want stiffer fines imposed on chronic offenders.
With almond and pistachio harvest in full swing, this could be your last chance to get the navel orange worm control you need. Power up late season NOW control with the exceptional flexibility and performance of Spearlep. Spearlep's unique mode of action provides excellent NOW control, and because there's 0 day PHI and it's MRL exempt, you can safely return to the field within a few hours of spraying. Visit Vestaron.com to find your local sales representative, or call your retailer to get more information.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcast, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.